Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities. From the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front room. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $50 a month. Then we called SelectQuote. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $19 a month. A savings of $369 a year.
Whether you need a $500,000 policy or a $5 million policy, SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance.
For your free quote, go to SelectQuote.com. SelectQuote.com. That's SelectQuote.com.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save. Full details on example policies at SelectQuote.com/commercials.
There's no purpose in teaching anybody who don't really want to learn, who really don't want to get to it. Everybody want to play entrepreneur. They don't want the sacrifice that come with this shit.
Truly. Late nights, early mornings.
You're going to lose friends, lose girlfriends, family going to call you crazy, not going to believe in you, then you make it, and then everybody going to be like, I'm proud of you, let me get some money.
What I've realized that wealthy people understand, and people in general, is the small concepts that you can apply to get wealthy. You don't gotta be super smart and gotta know all the intricacies of real estate or taxes or e-commerce or whatever, trucking, whatever it is.
It's good if you wanna be rich in that business, but you don't need to know that.
You don't need to know everything. You just need to know small, basic concepts. Mm-hmm. And one of the smallest basic concepts that anybody can understand is get money, buy income. Mm. Get money, buy more money.
I woke up feeling wealthy today. My bank account might not agree, but hey, that shit on the way. Me and my niggas laying brick on top of brick till we straight. If you the type that play the victim, you can't come in my space. You know this game ain't for the weak, it's hard to carry this weight. I keep my balance through the ups and downs, I'm never gonna break. You feel the purpose in my spirit when you look in my face. Cause this ain't a second, I can waste some good food on place.
What's good with it, wealthy people? Your boy David Bellar, one of the hosts of the Black Wealth Renaissance podcast. Here on this lovely Sunday, man, I'm here with my brother, Mr. Jalen Clark. Mr. Make him seasick with the waves. You ain't swimming on him like you were last time. You in that bitch a little bit, my brother. How you feeling, man?
What's up? I did not put my durag on last night. That is one of the reasons. Hey. Had a wild night last night. I just went home. Took me a shower. I went to sleep.
Boy, that look will whoop my ass. I ain't going to hold you.
How they say it? We had a time last night.
We had a time last night. Yeah, man, we had a great ass event last night out there in downtown Dallas, Black Wealth Now. Partnered up with our guy Sam from Black Real Estate Dialogue. Mm-hmm. Was a real dope event, man. One of the dope panelists is actually joining us on this podcast, real dope brother.
Actually, like, I'm not even going to say joining. Like, we're all hosting this together because this is going to be a crossover episode.
Yeah, man. This man, y'all done seen him on the pod before. Right now, he is on a campaign to create a new culture. And we are right here with him, man, because
we're sick of this shit.
We are sick of this shit. And the stuff that my brother is talking about, you've heard the episode by now. If you haven't, I need you to stop listening, go back, and then come back, because that first episode is loaded with valuable information. We have none other than Mr. Tim Jackson, former City Zoning Commissioner and host of the No More OGs podcast. Tim,
Let's get it, man. You know what? I'm happy to be here, man. This is a dope experience. When you guys reached out and said you want to do a crossover, I was like, let's get it. You know, because I really fuck with what y'all doing. I feel like this is the culture, and this culture needs to be seen more. And this needs to be a representation of who we really are. You know what I'm saying? Like, the culture that's associated with us is, it's a bunch of bullshit. Facts. You know, and a lot of people feel that way, but a lot of y'all scary, too scared to say that shit out loud. Like,
because they scared of cancel culture. They scared, man, of being politically correct or politically incorrect and
they
shit.
They scared
like
of niggas telling them you ain't no real nigga.
You ain't no real, you a hoe ass nigga. Well, hey, I guess I'm just a hoe ass nigga, man, because I'm not protecting the bullshit ass culture no more, because we don't benefit from that. You know, that whole get high, get drunk, fuck bitches, kill niggas, that's all the culture is about. And really, we are so much more than that. You understand what I'm saying? I like to have a good time from time to time, but shit, that's just the cherry on top. That's not the cake. And I shouldn't be judged based off of the fuck shit that other people do. That is the narrative that controls the culture. So we creating our own lane over here, and it's a lot of people taking that exit and hopping on this road right now, man.
I love it.
Yeah. So let's get it.
Man, I love it. So Tim, bro, I just want to start, like, I mean, the audience should know you by now. If they don't, that's their fault.
Yeah.
Like I said, y'all got to go back and listen to other episodes. Yeah. I really want to know, what was the start and idea for No More OGs? Because I love the movie.
You know what, man? I'm going to be real with you. Over the last decade, I've had an opportunity to work with a lot of celebrities. Mm-hmm. Like I told you guys before, I've been on TMZ with a client before. I've gotten into that world, if you will, and I've been around a lot of people that we look at and we see, you know, on television, through social media, that have, you know, verification checks. And this ain't the shit on nobody, y'all. I'm just giving you an example. And from my personal experience, like, you know, they tell you not to meet your, you ever heard the saying, don't meet your heroes? Mm-hmm. Not to say any of these people are my heroes, but that saying holds true, because once you get around certain people, you realize, one, they just another person just like you. But two, they're characters. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? Because many of those rappers, they not living that shit, or if they have lived it, it was 20 years ago. They kids don't listen to it. They kids don't watch the shit they promote. They send their kids to private school. Like, they're, it's just a, it's a performance.
It's for a disconnect from what they really doing.
Yeah, really, yeah. And it's like, but then you have people who are really in, growing up in these environments, thinking that this is who you have to be, specifically kids, because I work with a lot of kids. I get a lot of people coming to comments like, damn, you can't save everybody. Who are you to say? But, you know, kids are impressionable. We were impressionable. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, you know, I see so many kids get caught up and go to prison on first time offenses for 7, 8, 9, 10 years because they trying to live this life that ain't really about, you know, that they not really about. So my thing is, you know, let's provide an alternative to that. Like, you know, you got a lot of good brothers out there that's doing some dope shit that should really be the forefront of this movement, but they don't get the recognition because they not out there getting high, getting drunk, fuck bitches and killing niggas. You know what I'm saying?
I like it, bro. And like, one of the things I love so much about the No More OG's name is because, like, the idea of the OG, right?
Yeah.
Just get high, the myth. Fuck bitches. The myth.
The OG is a myth. OG is a myth.
Because what we call an OG, ain't nobody that's really putting you on no real game.
Exactly.
They teaching you bullshit. They teaching you how to destroy yourself and not how to build your community. So,
what has an OG ever taught you of substance?
I told y'all, all the old niggas that I know that have been around, all they would talk about is fucking bitches.
That's
like
it.
How much pussy I used to get when I was a that's young it. Man. Nigga, that's I don't it. Care.
and it's like, bro, like, that's not even worth my time.
It's not at all.
You know what I'm saying?
You're
like,
not helping me elevate at all.
Yeah, yeah.
You should have a wealth of knowledge to pour back into me.
You know, I think for me, it was seeing somebody that I looked up. I ain't gonna say looked up to, but somebody that I fucked with in the industry, you know, get on a podcast and say it's not their job to help young people coming after them. And it's like,
that's bullshit.
It is your job to make sure, like, that they don't make the same mistakes. And they were just like, no, I fucked up, so they got to fuck up and learn. It's just like, I don't know, man. That kind of, it rubbed me the wrong way, because it's just like, man, if that's the way you feel about them, you don't give a shit about me. And most of them don't. You know what I'm saying? And listen, it's a business at the end of the day. Like, you know, it's just a business. So my thing is, all right, well, let's create another lane. Let's create another business that's going to actually teach you how to thrive. And the whole concept of no more OGs is to understand that there is a group of people out there. There's a community of people out there that want to see you win, not just mentally, but economically. That's the foundation of it. Them old niggas never taught us no game that was going to build wealth. They taught us how to fuck hoes, get high and do and wild out.
And fuck off your money.
I'm teaching people on my platform. We poking a little fun at some of the bullshit that happens in the culture, but then I'm also teaching you how to get out of debt. I'm also teaching you how to build and restore your credit. I'm also teaching you how to buy real estate. I'm putting people in front of you who own businesses. I'm getting ready to start a 30-day challenge where for the rest of this year, for the last quarter of the year, plus 1 month, for every 30 days, for every month, I'm gonna get into a new industry. So this month I'm taking a course on cleaning. Like having a cleaning business. And I'm going to document it. I already paid for the course. Next month, I'm going to do a course on government contracts. I've already paid for it. I'm going to document it. I'm going to do the course. And then the following 2 months, I might do mobile notary. I'm just going to start just going through every month, just doing a new industry because I'm retired as fuck. And I got a lot of time on my hands, you know, probably not so much with this baby.
Yeah, I was like, new boy. Shout out to the new baby.
But it's like my thing is a lot of people don't understand that there's so many outlets out there for them to make money. Outside of selling dope, hitting licks and doing street shit and conning and scamming niggas, you can actually go out there and make some good money and create a business that you can hand down to your family. And I'm about to show them.
And I think that's very interesting because speaking of what's going on in the culture, you know, Jay-Z dropped the God Did verse that came out like 2 weeks ago. And people were kind of like,
hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
Ridiculing him for speaking about making billionaires and stuff like that. Yeah, they're saying he's disconnected from what reality is. Mm. He then got on a Twitter space and he was like, y'all trying to make us feel bad for being successful when coming up, that was the American dream. That was something that wasn't even obtainable to us. Being a black billionaire, that wasn't something that was obtainable to us. And he's like, y'all preaching eat the rich, but y'all not really seeing what's going on behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. Like, once again, I'm a billionaire, but I also made 2 more billionaires out of me. And so they're like, oh, but what is he really doing for the community? What is he? They're not understanding that, hey, it's a system.
Typically, the people that say that ain't doing shit.
Bro.
Like I'm just going to call it out, bro.
I'm glad you're saying it.
Typically, you know, the loudest person is the most passive person ain't doing shit. And I get criticized because I call that out. Because when people come into my comments talking that fuck shit, I always say, what specifically have you done to create economic change in your community? And they don't have the, you can hear a rat piss on cotton. It gets so quiet.
And you know why that is, Tim? Because it was that same thread that you talking about, Jalen. I seen someone comment like, you want to be a revolutionary and a capitalist and those things don't go in hand. But how can you create change as a socialist, really?
At State Farm, we're committed to uplifting Black futures. In collaboration with organizations like 100 Black Men and National Urban League, State Farm provides high school students with the opportunity to learn and apply best practice strategies for saving and investing, all while offering academic support, life skills, and exposure to college access programs to prepare these students for life after high school. Check out 100blackmen.org and nul.org to donate and learn more. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Because you can't.
People think that socialism is this major answer to all the problems, but everything moves with money. If you ain't got no motherfucking money, nobody's going to pay attention to what you got to say. Like, Malcolm X was a great man, powerful man. Malcolm X died broke.
Listen, man, when I tell y'all, it's such a catch-22 because the same people ridiculing him are the same people that praise celebrities all day long. And they seek validation, or everything in their life is centered and built around what a celebrity is doing. Celebrity worship is out of control to the point to where literally it's kind of like when I go speak at schools and shit like that. Like now I wear Jordans. I wear some Nike shit. Like I mean, it's just clothes to me. But I understood when I would go in my suit and I would look like somebody that was important, so to speak, it wouldn't even register to the kids. When I start wearing Jordans or your different shoes that the kids are paying attention to, then I start getting their attention, right? Mm-hmm. So I say all that to say, you know, you have to meet people on their level, but you also can't put yourself in a box, right? Mm-hmm. So when I do that, I'm trying to get to your level so that we can understand each other. But you know what? That's only something that we do in the black community. Like, why do I have to go out of my way to prove who I am just so you can invalidate me and tell me who I'm not? Like, I don't even spit out my resume no more when I get around niggas, man. Like, I am who I am. If you don't know me, then I must not be working hard enough. When I walked into a room, some people know who I am. Some people don't. It's cool. But what I find in our community, we the only ones that invalidate you. We put you on a pedestal. And then the moment you become who we done made you to be, we tear your ass down.
And that's the craziest shit.
Because just 4 years ago, when he put out the 444 album, he was the best person in the world.
That's a fact.
Kanye. Let's take Kanye, for example. Oh. Think about how often people
love and hate Kanye.
He's like, probably one of the most polarizing artists in the history of the world.
I mean, literally if you really follow algorithms and shit, it's like it's the same time of the year every year. Kanye does something to make people either love or hate him. And I don't even blame him. I blame fickle ass people that don't know what their purpose is. Don't know why they put on this planet. So you look into a damn celebrity to validate you. You mad because a black person made 2 more billionaires and he said that out loud? Like, we have to be passive when we do good shit, but we could be a hoe-ass nigga when we doing fuck shit. We can be the loudest hoe-ass nigga in the world when we out there talking about get high, get drunk, fuck bitches, kill niggas. They'll let them niggas go speak in schools and shit.
Then they get out of the school and go kill somebody.
And now Jay-Z got to be quiet about the fact that he made 2 billionaires. And he didn't even say how many millionaires he made.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
And one of the things there was like, so what's the difference between Jay-Z and Rihanna? It was like, well, Rihanna don't say nothing.
Because that's that abuse within our community. We abuse each other. Like we want our people to sit up and eat shit all day long. No, sit up, take it, don't respond, eat shit, and just hope that it'll get better. That passive shit. Nah, fuck all that, man. Because the people that you glorify ain't doing that when they talking about destroying us. Mm-hmm. So why I got to be quiet? Like when I be calling that all that fuck shit I see on the internet, it's always a nigga hopping my inbox in the comments. Man, I like what you're doing, man. But you know, you could take a different approach. Man, get the fuck out of my inbox with that shit, nigga. You ain't never went into the comments of these rappers telling them to take a different approach when they sit up here talking about it's on site when I see you. You liking that shit. You sharing that shit. You talking about gang gang. You throwing up the signs. You doing the finger twist. You doing all that shit when it's done. But when I say, man, this some bullshit, man, take a different approach, man. Man, fuck all that.
So, and just to drill down on that tidbit a little bit more. So my guy Rakim Sabri, he did mention Malcolm X. He was like, Malcolm X was a capitalist. And then I said a comment. I didn't agree with Malcolm being a full-on capitalist, but I did state once he started preaching economic empowerment, that's whenever I feel like the government silenced him. So my question to everyone is, do y'all believe economic empowerment can exist without capitalism?
Absolutely not, man.
How that like, work?
It's impossible. You know, that whole American dream shit is based on capitalism.
It is.
You have to own something.
You have to own something, bro. Like, you know, I just think it's so hypocritical for people to get on social media and show you this amazing lifestyle that they have. Well, how did you get that lifestyle?
I'm traveling. I got this nice car.
Yeah, I got a nice car. But then when somebody big boy and them and doing it better than them, they need to shut the fuck up and give the money back to the community.
Stop being a fucking hater.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's that nigga shit, man. That's that, you know, that pocket watching shit. Like, I put up,
you to do it good, but I don't want to see you doing better than me.
Hey, man, I've put up hundreds of thousands of dollars to improve my community, man, to operate my nonprofit organization, to help people, you know, pay for attorney fees when they getting jammed up and they can't afford attorney fees, to help people expunge their record, my own fucking money. And I didn't say shit about it for years, but I sat back and watched people come into the community and tear it down and get rewarded for it, man. It's just like, man, fuck all that. There's a community of people just like me that really want to own their communities and do good. And we finna create a lane for people like that. And I'm not gonna even shit on the other lane. That y'all can have that shit. I'm good on it, man. I'm separating myself from the culture. And I'm creating a whole nother lane. And if it's just gonna be me and that mug driving by myself, I'll do it by myself. Because at the end of the day, you gotta subscribe to a capitalistic mindset in order to build wealth. And all that kumbaya shit, man. People always want you to be on that kumbaya shit when you start doing a little bit better than them.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I thought about whenever I was just evaluating the situation is, people also, whenever they think of capitalists, they think of extreme situations.
They go straight to greed.
Yeah, they go to the greed, like, oh, you got to fuck over this person. You got to take advantage of this people. Like, you're forcing this person to work and paying them minimum wages. You know, you're putting them in terrible working situations and shit like that. And once again, it's definitely a hierarchy. I think there are some jobs that just won't be here because automation is going to wipe that shit out. So I always tell people, like, if you want to make more, add more fucking value.
It's no different than the person who doesn't drink, doesn't smoke, doesn't cheat, but they beat their wife. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's going to always be some type of flaw in something, right? But we always go to the extreme. It's either sugar or shit. It ain't ever no in between, right? That's one thing I don't like about social media. It's like David always says, it's an echo chamber, right? You have to agree with me or you can go to hell, right? What happened to that middle ground? What happened to, no, you know what? I'm actually over here. Like, I like to have a good time, but I also understand I got to take care of business. I also understand that in business, there are perceptions, and regardless of how you feel, you can't walk into a room with anybody, specifically your own people, you know, looking a certain way and acting a certain way and expecting to get their money to do a service for them. Black people judge you more than anybody when it comes to business.
Very critical.
You know what I'm saying? So if that's the case, like, allow people to operate in their own space. But what I see is that people who are unwilling to make the sacrifices to become great shit on you when they see you doing great shit. And those are the people that you got to leave behind, man. You have to leave them behind. They'll never adjust their mindset to growth, whether it's financial growth, whether it's mental growth, whether it's emotional growth, it's going to always be a problem. They will always find the problem within the solution. And we as Black people specifically need to start acknowledging that exists. And we need to start slowly trimming off that fat and saying, you can be that person. Just be that person over there.
Mm. And then whenever they being that person over there, because I think one of the biggest things with it, when it comes to leaving people behind, right, is that it's not always that we leaving you behind because we don't want to help you, but you don't believe it till you see it more times than not, especially with our people more than others. So, like, whenever we do leave them behind and they do get that opportunity to see it, they be like, damn, they over there doing this. Maybe, just maybe in their head, it might be a moment where it's like, damn, I'm over here complaining, I'm doing all this bullshit, meanwhile, these niggas over here getting to it. Let me try to figure out what they doing over there.
That's all it is, man. I'm not finna carry nobody, man. Like, I'm not caring. I did that shit for too long, carrying people that didn't want to be carried. And I think that it's a catch-22, because when you get in positions like we're in, you naturally want to help people and you naturally want to help people get to that next level. But the thing is that we try to help the wrong people. You got to identify your target audience. When people get in my comments talking shit about something I said, I comment sometime, man, you're not my target audience. It's 350 million people in the United States. You understand what I'm saying? 1% of that is 3.5 million. 1% of that is 35,000 people, right? I'm just trying to go after 35,000 people, bro. The 1% of the 1% who are going to understand what I'm saying and ain't going to have time for the extra bullshit. And you are not my target audience because you have, as my mom would say, you ain't got a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out of. You don't have a track record of change. So why the fuck am I going to even entertain a conversation with you right now?
Sheesh. That's fine. I'll let you get a question.
Yeah, but people don't, it's like we too afraid to say that. We'll say that shit on Twitter where you can't change shit. You just talking shit. But like, you need to be able to look people in the eye and say, man, I love you, but man, you gonna have, I'm cutting ties with you. And I wish you the best. You know what I'm saying? And it ain't nothing, man. And maybe our lives will intertwine and cross again, but until that moment, man, it's all good. And let the healing begin.
At State Farm, we're committed to uplifting Black futures. In collaboration with organizations like 100 Black Men and National Urban League, State Farm provides high school students with the opportunity to learn and apply best practice strategies for saving and investing, all while offering academic support, life skills, and exposure to college access programs to prepare these students for life after high school. Check out 100blackmen.org and nul.org to donate and learn more. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And that's a good point right there, because like a lot of times I know even in myself, and like having tough conversations is never easy. That's why they call it tough conversations. But on the other side of those conversations is almost always growth.
It's always growth, man. You know, I try my best to do the things that I don't want to do first. You know, like if I can knock that out first, then I'm good. That's it. And I think that we've gotten to an era where we're super comfortable. Like, let me ask y'all this just straight up. Why do you think people are in our community, in the Black community, are so afraid to disassociate themselves with the things that they know is not benefiting them?
That's a great
question.
I think a lot of it comes from the fact that we find value in it. I think that we really place our value as a community in it because it's what we see the most. Like, we see this pushed in our face from the time we were kids. I know I just mentioned Malcolm X. I seen a quote from him that was very powerful. There's no other community on this planet where the leaders are considered entertainers.
Bro, let's talk about that, man.
They're none. Think about it. Like, he mentioned it in his time. It was like they like Lena Horne and some singer. Like, they had a bunch of singers and actors, and it's like in the white world, they're gonna talk about business people. They're talking about Rockefeller. They're talking about presidents, and we're over here glorifying niggas who can make a song. And I'm not hating niggas that make songs. I fuck with your music.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But you're not leaders of the community.
You are not my spokesperson.
And I think that's where I think of that Dave Chappelle joke with 9/11 happened.
Where's Ja?
We need to know where Ja is.
Who the fuck cares what Ja gotta
say? Nobody gives a fuck about
what
Ja gotta say.
That's such a good joke. That's such a good joke because it's so real. You know, and I might step on some toes and I don't really care, but it's kind of like when Lil Baby went to the White House or went to go meet with the vice president. I thought to myself,
Why the fuck is Lil Baby our spokesperson?
Like, and that's not the knock, Lil Baby. Like, people think I don't like rappers and shit. I don't have no problem with these cats, man. I just don't want you to be the face of me. Like, you're an entertainer. Do your thing. You have a lane. You are extremely successful. But you are not my representative when it comes down to life or death issues or things that are going to impact me and my family. The last person I want speaking for me is an entertainer, man.
So I got a question. So Lil Baby, but you know, Ice Cube also did the same thing. But he had an actionable plan.
Yeah. But that goes back to, again, it was rooted in economics. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? And whenever you start creating solutions that are rooted in economics,
they always find that problem.
They find a reason to tune your ass out. And that's the people that you need to separate from. Whenever I set up the people that criticize the Ice Cube wanting to have a conversation, I said, you know what? Ice Cube is an entertainer, but he's coming with a plan, and I can actually rock with this. And let me hear what he has to say. No, no, no. We don't need to hear that plan. Let's get up
let's
there.
Let's get Cardi B and Two Chainz in this bitch.
Let's let Cardi B go talk. Like, it's just like, I'm not hating on Cardi B. I don't have anything against any of them, but I don't want them negotiating on my behalf, bro, because it's just not, it's just, I don't want them negotiating on my behalf. That's crazy when you think about it.
It is. It's insanity.
The white community is not sending Travis Barker to go have a conversation. Like, come on, man. Like, they do not allow their entertainers to speak for them.
They're sending business leaders. They're sending politicians. They're sending people who can create economic solutions, as you mentioned.
And if you say that out loud, well, they getting the young vote out. This has been the same horse and pony. And I don't like to get into politics, y'all. I'm just giving you an example. It's just been the same horse and pony show. So my thing is this. At what point in the game do you carve out your own lane and say, hey, for everybody who ain't with that shit, here's something new for you. It's just an alternative. You don't have to subscribe to it. It ain't for everybody. It's for the few people that say, I can't get down with that shit.
I want to answer your question from earlier. One of the reasons why I feel like, you know, people in our community don't disassociate themselves with those things is we look at life like high school and middle school. Like, yo, I want to be the cool person. I want to feel accepted. And I don't think it's just our community wants to feel accepted. I think that's basic human nature. But I also feel like we're the only culture that I got to be cool. I got to be hip. Like,
we are the culture.
Exactly. Like, we're the only people that feel like, oh, if you're not swaggy, if you're not moving this type of way, like, oh, you ain't shit. Like, if you look at any other community, people going to be themselves. They might dress a certain way, you know, but a lot of white people I look at, they don't give a fuck when nobody think about them. They going to do what the fuck they got to do. There's people like that in our community. But at the same time, we want to be associated with different things. So we got to feel like, oh, if I see this person is doing this, I'm going to do this because it's accepted and it's going to make me feel validated. And a lot of times we want that self-validation from the community to feel like, oh, I'm cool. I'm it. Like, yeah, I'm dope.
It became a currency because that was all we had back in the day, right? You think about I was watching, I posted a video of Frankie Lyman. You know, he sings Why Do Fools Fall in Love? And back then you didn't have TVs or TVs weren't as accessible. They had records. And he performed in front of a white audience and they thought that he was white because of the record. And when he came out and they saw this black dude, they were looking like, What the fuck? You know?
He ain't got blackface on?
And he out there, you know, ooh, wow, he de-opied out. And I thought to myself, God damn, we've been performing for 80 years. Like, but that's where it started. That validation, like, hey, look at me. I'm good. I'm not going to hurt you. I can sing. Like, I have a talent. And it's like, okay, cool. That's how you're getting out there and getting in the forefront. No worries. Now, what do we evolve to? And we've never evolved out of being the fucking entertainment.
When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
this is ludicrous.
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper Ludicrous.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
We've never evolved from being the person that has to be accepted because of this talent that I have. This, you know what I'm saying? So now we sell this dream to our kids that if you want to be somebody, you have to be, if you're a boy, an athlete.
Yeah.
If you're a girl, you have to be somebody. I mean, now it's thought, so, you know, it's you know, I'm going to say it. You got to be showing, shaking that ass. You said
some of the realest shit the other day I seen on Twitter, man, talking about that conflict resolution event for black boys. You can put on an event that's going to teach young black men how to actually handle life. And you might get 10 kids there. But if you have a football camp,
it's going
to
be packed.
You're going to have everybody and their mama in there.
And then let me tell you, people said, well, why don't you just do a football camp and do the conflict resolution? They not coming to that shit.
We gotta We gotta start tricking the ass.
It's two different audiences, bro.
Market that shit.
Hell yeah, market that bitch as a football camp.
Hey, bro, bro.
Who niggas gonna be mad at that?
They'll flame my ass for that shit. They'll be so mad, bro.
Ain't a football, ain't a cool drill in sight, nigga.
It'll probably be a fight breakout if I did some shit like that, bro. You wanna know why? Because a lot of people treat their kids like lottery tickets, man.
Ooh. Let's talk about it, man.
Let's talk about it, man. That's their ticket out. And then, listen, man, I'm not generalizing. That's why I say a lot of people. I have a good friend of mine. You know, she's probably like 5'11". Her husband's probably like 6'2", 6'3". You know, he played professional sports. Both of their kids are amazingly talented. Like, one of their kids is like a top recruit right now in basketball. Like, of course, they're going to, you know, he's great in academics too, right? But I mean, he's a big, tall kid. Their other kid is a starting quarterback at a college, you know, NCAA college, like on TV and shit, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they have the skills, right? You know, a lot of kids don't have skills.
I'm
man.
Glad you said it. It's a lot of niggas that's delusional.
No. It's a lot of niggas that's trash, man. And we just need to say it like, yo son can't hoop. He can't play baseball. He can't play football. He needs to learn academics, but you selling this dream on him. Like, hey, you need to go be the next LeBron, and let's just keep it real. He might be good in junior high and high school, but what if he doesn't hit a growth spurt? Now, you know, he's 5'6", 5'7", and they looking for a 6'2 person in his position. Not to say somebody 5'6", 5'7", can't make it. It's going to always be somebody coming. Well, what about?
Man, look, that nigga's an anomaly. I'm going to keep it like you said.
They are.
Because I played college football. I walked on at Louisiana Tech. I can't tell you how many niggas was we 2-3 years into college. Bro, they got league dreams. You 2-3 years in the college. You not even on the fucking team.
Do you know how good? Do you know the quality of the level of sport, the expertise that you go from high school to college? Like, even walking on a team like Louisiana Tech, bro, it's people on that team that will wash your ass, and they still couldn't get on at Alabama. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I have professional athlete clients that will wash your ass on the court, but they cannot get in the NBA. They got to go play overseas. But they will wash your ass.
I mean, they're really good.
I'm talking about you won't score one single point. Think about the sorriest person on an NBA team that never gets into the game that's over there cheering. They'll go to any gym in America and beat the living shit out of everybody in that gym.
Yeah, yeah.
And they can't even get on the court. So you have to understand the percentages of kids going pro is extremely low. Like 1-2%. But your kid
lower than that, my brother. It's like we talking 0.01%.
It's crazy, man. But people think that hey, my kid, well, he's special. He might be good, but like have a backup plan so he won't be the old nigga at the barbershop talking about how shit used to be 30 man. Years from now, man.
Man.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. And it was a video we posted. It was Dr. Jawanza Kunjufa, I think. Sorry if I butchered the man's name. But he spoke on this so eloquently, and I never heard it put this way. They were 1 million black boys that graduated high school that wanted to play in the NFL. Not the NFL, the NBA. Only 10,000 of them going to get to college and actually play ball. In the NBA, you only got like 300 jobs. You got 1 million people trying to apply for 300 full-time jobs. The numbers on that don't make sense.
It just don't add up. But that's them lottery tickets. That's that lottery ticket shit. You know, I mean, the chance of you winning the lottery are super slim to none.
But you still buy that damn ticket out there.
It's that, and we got to stop treating our kids like a fucking lottery ticket. We need to start preparing them for skills. My son has a contract. We write out a contract. He has to sign a contract, and we put it on the refrigerator that states he will keep a B average. He won't bring home no more than 2 or 3 Bs. Like we, you know, if he messes up, he can't play sports. Like, listen. That talent is what's going to get you in front of people, man. Like, it's going to get you the scholarship. It's going to get you the access, right? And it's going to be some nigga in the comment, what about the NIL? Man, listen, the people at the big schools like the Alabama's, LSU, yeah, they going to clean up, bro. But we're not talking about them, man. Those are anomalies. Those are people that have an extreme talent. you can condition anybody's mind to do anything. We need to start conditioning our kids' mind to be business owners, to be great employees. I'm not knocking a job because, you know, jobs make good money too. And we've gotten away from jobs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We've gotten away from jobs and skilled labor. Like, there's this thing on social media now that if you don't own a business and the LLC, you ain't shit.
Nigga, you could be an electrician and be making way more than a lot of these entrepreneurs.
A plumber making more of these entrepreneurs. IA making more than some of these entrepreneurs.
Tell you,
there's some good engineers.
And I take on some of that fault because I do know whenever we started BWR, we were highly glorifying entrepreneurship and business. And I don't think that we articulated it enough to where
you can have both fully.
That's true. But I also don't think that we articulated it to the fact that you can have both.
It was a wave, man.
It was a wave.
I've been on the record, you know, saying that a job is a pimp hole relationship. I said that like 10 years ago. And then I had to check myself, like, who the fuck am I as an entrepreneur to shit on the job when I got to hire people to work for me? Hmm. Like, it's not so much about being an entrepreneur or having a job. It's about your debt. It's about your credit. It's about how you manage your money. Because I know some entrepreneurs that's broke as shit. And I know some people that's making $50,000 a year that's got $1 million worth of assets. You understand what I'm saying? So it's just like all the money in the world, if you don't know how to manage it, if you have a lot of debt, if you don't know how to control your shit, then it don't matter. Hmm. So we need to start talking debt elimination. We need to start teaching about compound interest and how it works against you and how it works for you. Because it doesn't matter what you do, it's what you put your money towards to work for you. And you can work that job that you love and still own property. You can work that job that you love and still have a cleaning business on the side. You can work that job that you love and still do other things. But it's either
stocks.
Get a job and get an LLC or you ain't shit. And you are eliminating and you're literally...
You're ostracizing
80% of the people, man.
And then, just to add on to that, because Jalen and I, we both on the record saying we jumped off the porch a bit too early going into full-time entrepreneurship. I told myself I was on. We had jobs. We was making like 30 bands a year. I made $50,000 on the side by myself and said, oh, nigga, we lit. I don't got to go back to work for nobody. I could do better by myself. But whenever you do these things, you're cutting yourself off at the legs because now you cut off a stable source of cash flow that you could use to help grow and scale your business, and now you're eating off of it. And you putting this pressure on yourself to try to grow something, and you're putting yourself in an unnecessary struggle, to say the least, because you could have something on the side if you manage your time well, and you can grow and scale and let it grow out, but... That whole idea and narrative of, man, if I ain't an entrepreneur, I ain't shit, I don't want to work for nobody, man, fuck a job. It's like, I get it. That should be the ultimate goal, but we have to have strategy.
You got to have strategy, man. That W-2, man, can get you all types of loans that a 1099 can't get because they want to see 2 years worth of tax returns. You know what I'm saying? At W-2, they just need to see 60 days worth of employment. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's all about leveraging. And listen, I'm not knocking any. I'm an entrepreneur. You know, I got my own shit, right? But I also understand that a lot of time, effort, energy goes into that. And it doesn't matter what I do for a living. If I don't, you know, use my finances wisely, if I don't budget, I'm going to be fucked. I'm going to be an entrepreneur with a ton of debt that's out there telling you to look at me, look how I'm doing. Then I'm going home, closing the door. You motherfucking thinking I'm going to keep my lights on, man. And it's a lot of people capping out there like they got it and they don't, man. I know because I be around some of these cats, man. I don't be saying shit. It's like, man. And that's what people want. That's what the world wants. The world wants a lot of flashy capping shit, but that's why so many people are so fucking miserable, man.
Flashy capping with no substance.
No substance, man. But if you say it out loud, you hating. Fuck the culture, man.
My dude Zay actually tweeted. He was like, a lot of people rich until you hang out with them.
Man, I saw that. I said, that's the one. That's the one, bro. When I saw that tweet, man, it did something to my soul. It did something to my soul, man. It's just like, he get it. You know, he get it. Because when you get around people, they can't, Jay-Z got a line that say, you know, careers come to an end. It's only so long fake dudes can pretend, you know? You know, I mean, it's like, you're going to have to show us. And we live in a show me society. And you don't have to be flashy to show people. There's subtle ways that you can show people that you're doing what you're doing. But we live in this world. We have to show everybody what the fuck we doing. And you'll never satisfy that urge because there's going to always be somebody doing better than you. And so what happens is we try to chase that person. It's just like, you can't even enjoy life because you're trying to chase another motherfucker's dream. When your dream might just be to buy one or two properties, cash flow those, and spend time with your fucking family. That's freedom. But you sitting up here trying to go out there and buy all these Rolexes because this person got all these Rolexes. You trying to go buy this drop top because he got that drop top. And you can't even fucking keep your lights on, man. You in debt up to your fucking eyeballs because you want a nigga like me or these cats right here to say, man, he doing it.
Can I be on the podcast now?
You got me fucked up. I ain't trying to impress none of y'all niggas, man. Like, I'm just keeping it real, man. Like, I got a family to feed. I got priorities, man. Like, I don't give a fuck what nobody think about me. My goal is to help people who look like me and people who buy into what I'm selling to create the life worth living, bro. And to disassociate themselves with a culture that don't give a fuck about you when it's all said and done. We all think it, bro. We all see a bunch of bullshit online and be like, man, that's some bullshit. But we won't say it out loud because it's like them niggas bullying us to be quiet, man. It's like Stockholm syndrome.
We in love with some abusive ass shit.
That culture is so fucking abusive towards us, man. There's no retribution in this culture. You got to sit up and eat shit all day. If somebody rob you, you can't call the police on them.
That's why I fuck with that nigga Charleston White. Yeah. That nigga Charleston White is funny. But that nigga said,
he did some whole shit that one time. He did do that.
So look, I feel like he's a necessary nuisance. That's what I call him.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he's a necessary nuisance. But that nigga do be saying some real shit sometimes.
Yeah, he does.
He's like, you know, these niggas wanted to try to come do his shit. You know what I did? I called the police on their ass.
And listen, man, I know people gonna watch this be like, damn. My thing is this. We don't have any retribution. So if you fuck over me, I can't call the police on you because I'm a snitch. And then if I come and I do you bad, then I'm gonna go to prison. And then if I pull up on you and I'm not ready for to do you bad, you ready to
be dead.
I'm gonna be dead. There's literally no recourse. It's there's no recourse for us as black men, as black people. Period. You just gotta eat shit all day long.
I'm calling the fucking police.
You know what I'm saying?
And then Charleston White. The real things he said.
If you come to threaten me and you're threatening my life, I will shoot you.
He said some real shit though, like with the whole. Like our culture, that free me shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
We got that shit really bad as a culture. And it's like, sometimes we just got to be honest with ourselves. Like, this person not a good person. Mm-hmm. He out here doing bullshit. And we got to call out the bullshit.
But you'll never hear me say free nobody, man. Like, and listen, you did that shit. My nigga, like, stand on. Ain't that a part of it? So on one post, you bragging that this person didn't snitch. And that they 10 toes down. I fucking hate that saying, 10 toes down. They 10 toes down. But in the next post, you're saying, free me. Well, damn, it's a consequence to the shit they doing. So either they going to be 10 toes down or you want them free. Well, my thing is, don't do the shit. Don't go out there and do whole ass shit that's going to put you in a situation to be taken away from your family for 5, 6, 7, 10 years. You leaving somebody else to raise your kids. You leaving somebody else to look after your affairs. And when you get in there, it's lonely. It's lonely in there, bro. And it's like, and then what happens is people go to prison, they come back, and then they control the culture. Like, the culture is essentially prison shit.
Yeah, they're telling these bullshit ass stories and all of this shit.
It's prison shit, man.
What happened to them, and niggas, oh, man.
Think about the culture is essentially prison, is the prison life. Like, if you dissect the culture associated with black folks, it's a prison mentality. Hmm. Everything about it. Don't snitch, violence, just get it how you live. That's prison shit, right? So it's like, if you don't subscribe to that, well, then you a square ass nigga, right? You a hoe ass nigga. And if you do subscribe to it, then it's levels to that. Well, did you do state time? Did you do fed time? What'd you go for? Where was you at? Who brought you in? What game was you in? It's so many stipulations. Like, it's a moving goalpost, man. You're never gonna make that field goal. When you can just stand up and say, I'm good on this shit. I'ma go over here. Y'all niggas can stay over there with that shit. Just don't cross over here. I won't cross over there. We finna build some shit because eventually you gonna need me before I need you. But it's like people are afraid to say that. I'm not.
That's a fact.
Man, I kind of want to give him some. Tim, you a wealth of knowledge, man. We was learning from you just a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
Before this podcast started, like, you've been teaching real estate and how to build wealth for shit, what, over a decade now?
I've been in real estate. This will be, I'm going on 2 decades in real estate. I hit 18 years. This will be my 19th year actually in real estate.
Damn.
Next year, I'm sorry, it'll be my 19th year. Yeah.
So, we're creating a new culture. One of the biggest things that I think the biggest mental shifts that has to occur is moving from this victimized mentality to understanding economics and how to empower yourself economically. So I want to ask you, like, for somebody that's, let's say they're just coming out, because I know you got the book Real Dope, the in-depth comparison between the dope game and the real estate world. For somebody that's coming out of that world, what tips would you give them to, like, empower themselves economically?
Well, first things first, man, understand that you can make just as much money outside of the streets as you can. And in fact, you can make more with less liability. Worst thing that's going to happen to you, somebody's going to sue you. They're not going to try to kill you. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, really, honestly, get away from your environment, you know, and that's no matter if you come out of selling dope or if you trying to go to college, no matter what it is you're trying to do. You got to take a step outside of your environment so that you can see how life really works. Because when you get stuck in a certain environment, you have this false reality. And then you start making decisions based off of your false reality. You know, one of the reasons why in Real Youth Mentoring, we take our boys around to travel and so they can see how people move in different cities. Mm-hmm. Because what's cool here may not be cool there. What's done here may not be done there. But it's a different flavor that you have never seen and you can implement in your life. So a person that's getting out of the game, per se, I would say first things first, you're going to have to cut yourself off completely from that old life because it's intriguing. It's fast money. You can always get back to it, but you're going to have to commit to cutting yourself off too. Be willing to kind of do without for a while, man. It's like you got to have a planter's mentality. You know, we get our food quick. Everything's a microwave society, so we don't plant and grow shit. But when you plant a seed, man, it could take years for it to manifest, but it'll feed you for the rest of your life. And what people don't understand is that they go for that quick shit that'll feed you for the moment in time, but it's not going to feed you for the rest of your life. It's shit that I did 10 years ago that's feeding me right now. So how I was able to retire at the age of 37? 20 years ago, stuff I did. And I'm not saying you got to wait 20 and 10 years. Literally 2 or 3 years can separate you for the rest of your life. If you put your head down and grind for 2 to 3 years, the rest of your life will be really good. So I would say disassociate yourself with some of that bullshit, all of that bullshit. Be ready to understand that there's going to be a grind associated with it, just like it is in whatever dope game or whatever you're doing. And then plant seeds that's going to materialize that you can eat off of them for the rest of your life. Get a blueprint. Follow one blueprint. Don't be listening to everybody. Everybody got a way of doing shit. Pick one. Follow it. Don't get caught up in the analysis, paralysis by analysis, where you listening to 5 different people that's talking about real estate. It all work because they work. Yo ass got to start working.
It all work because they doing the work. Exactly. Like
said, people start. What Cat Williams say? Trying shit. Don't work. It's because you trying to implement 5 different strategies to one game. You know what I'm saying? You can't run. You know, if you play football, you don't see a coach in the football that run the 3-4 and the 4-3 on defense. They either 3-4 or they're 4-3 and whatever variation of that. Right. Like, come on, man. If you a southpaw or you fight traditional, right? Like, come on, man. Like, pick a style, stick with it, tweak it along the way, make the changes, fail. It's okay to fail. Stop looking for a quick come up. If it's quick, I don't want it, bro. If you call me today and say, man, we can make 30, we can make such and such that by when? Shit, by next week, I'm good, bro.
Sound like that what you call it circle shit.
Yeah, I'm good, bro. I'm good, bro. You can have that shit. Like
a scam.
Yeah. It seemed like a scheme. Yeah.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
So what do y'all think this is going to look like?
Hi, everyone. Jazzy Bell here from Woman in Hip Hop Podcast. And if you're a fan of music, then be sure to check out and subscribe to Woman in Hip Hop Podcast, a show that focuses on the many talents and influences from women within the culture. And is brought to you exclusively by Revolt Podcast Network, anchored in hip hop, powered by creators.
A year from now. You think people going to jump on board to this no more OGs concept of saying, fuck this culture, we finna go ahead and break away and create something new?
I feel like we'll have some, but also feel like some people, they're going to stick with what they've been doing because that's all that they're used to.
They can have it. But they can have that shit.
The hating niggas will help fuel the movement.
Absolutely. They don't realize that, David.
I don't think people see that enough, and I want them to keep hating because you hate out loud, somebody agreeing in private. And that person that's agreeing in private gonna become a supporter of the movement.
Bro.
And that person that's becoming a supporter gonna push it to people who really need to hear this message. And slowly but surely we starting to see a shift. It's not one of them things, like any movement, it's not gonna happen overnight. It's not gonna happen a year from now. But 5-10 years from now, I see a major change, especially within the youth.
I learned that, bro. Yeah. People suffer in silence and people applaud you in silence. I don't know what that is about in our community, bro. If I could show you my inbox, how many people are like, bro, people I don't know, people from all over the place, you know, Louisiana, New York, Florida, South Carolina, California, Seattle, Washington, like, bro, I love what you're doing, man. Somebody's finally standing up and saying, fuck this culture. We've been sitting in silence for decades looking for somebody to show us something different. I ain't nobody's fucking leader. I'm just unearthing what's been there forever. I'm just the person that's just like, fuck it. You know, like, what do we have to lose at this point, bro? You know? What do we have to lose, man?
Nothing.
We have everything to gain. There's somebody at home right now who's struggling, bro, because they don't know how to save money. They don't know how to pay off debt. And it's they getting ready to go pick up a pack and start selling dope or robbing niggas because ain't nobody ever taught, no OG ever taught them how to save their money. No OG ever taught them how to leverage their credit. Nah, we gonna stop you from that street shit. We gonna show you how to make money the right way and how to teach manage people around you who want it. Not just motherfuckers that's just sitting around, your cousins, your kinfolk, people that you want. No, people that want it, they have to desire it. And then grow with them, man. That 2-3 concept, that biblical concept where 2 or 3 people come together, like, that is a great metaphor for life. Because literally 2 or 3 people can change the world. But we overanalyze shit and we want to be right all the damn time and talk about, well, it's this and nah, well, fuck you. You're not for me then, bro. You are not my target audience. Keep it moving.
Playing that devil's advocate shit.
Keep it moving, bro. No, there's no duality. You either in the huddle or you out the huddle, man. That's it. That we can't do duality, man. Like when people say, well, put on an event where you can talk about computers and football. Man, get the fuck out of here, man. That's two different audiences, man. The kids that like computers didn't make the football team. You know what I'm saying?
That's
like,
a fact.
Like, seriously, man. Like, it just don't work. We've tried it. So if you want your kid to learn about it, bring him to the event. If you don't, cool. But don't call me when he start doing stupid shit. Because the people always want to call me when they kids smoking weed and hitting licks. Hey, can you help? No, I can't help.
Too late now.
I've been inviting you to Real Youth Mentoring for 6 years. It's too far. Okay. He got football practice. Now he out there hitting licks. Tim, can you help? No. No, man.
Whenever he was at the most impressionable, that's whenever.
Yeah. Send me his address when he get locked up. I'll write him a letter. But he gonna have to learn that the hallway. That's where you let him go. So let them show him what it really is, so he can see that this whole time we've had his best interest at heart. We just wasn't no flashy niggas that was talking about the culture and staying loyal to a bunch of ideals that don't benefit us. And y'all gotta stop being so, not y'all's per se, y'all watching this, gotta stop being so fucking scary to say that out loud, man. Like, you had this argument with yourself in the car, you know, driving home. You know how when you be mad at your girl, mad at your boyfriend or something, ladies, and you be talking shit in the car by yourself, but then you get in front of them, you don't say shit. Like, that's how we are in this culture. We know it ain't shit.
Some tough conversations, David was saying.
We know it ain't shit.
The minute you had them tough conversations, shit really does change, and that growth does start to happen, dog.
Man.
Don't be scared.
Scared.
So look, y'all.
That's the message right there. Hell Tim, yeah. Man, where can people listen to the No More OGs podcast?
Listen,
tapped in, bro.
First things first, follow me on Instagram, No More OGs. It's OGS. No More OGs on Instagram. I'm on Twitter. The following is coming up, y'all. So make sure y'all like and subscribe. Also at Tim Jackson now. The podcast is on all streaming platforms. So right now it's on Apple. It's on I think it's on the Google Store, whatever Google has.
Play.
Google it's podcast. On a few other places. But if you visit, I have a website too. Just go to the No More OGs on Instagram and everything will be there. They just start there. I'm on YouTube as well. But you all, I'm not the type of person that's above reproach and I can't solve these problems by myself. I want you to follow me. I want you to inbox me and tell me what you're struggling with. What was that one thing that them old niggas that you was looking up to didn't teach you? Mm-hmm. They taught us how to fuck. They taught us how to roll blunts and get high and shit. They taught us how to drink and shit. But what was that one thing that they just did not teach you that you had to learn in your 30s, damn near 40s in some cases, or that you're still trying to grasp and conceive right now? Inbox me on Instagram and tell me what the fuck it is that you just wish somebody would have sat down with you and just talked to you about. It could be anger management. It could be, you know, dealing with grief. It could be anything. And I promise you, you have my word. I'm going to bring people on that platform to address everything y'all tell me. That's my word. Because at this point, we don't have shit to lose, man. Like, niggas tired of watching old them podcasts, the old ass niggas talking about how shit used to be. I ain't going to no fucking farewell tours for the old niggas that, you know, trying to revive their career, man. I ain't watching none of these podcasts where niggas talking about beef they had in the 90s. Fuck that shit. Like, how much more can you watch? How many times can you listen to that story? How many times? I don't want to know nothing else about Tupac. Every week somebody coming up telling stories about Tupac. Like, okay, I was a fan of Tupac. He's still one of the greatest around, but I don't give a fuck about that shit. Mm-hmm. I don't care. That shit ain't going to help me.
All the stories they can tell.
Like, come on.
Ain't no new information coming out.
We regurgitating this shit. I don't give a fuck that this rapper is beefing with that rapper. This rapper signed with this label. I don't give a fuck about that shit, man. That shit ain't doing nothing to curb the violence in my community. They ain't doing nothing to put money in my pocket. It's not doing nothing to help you own real estate. It's not doing nothing to help you budget. I don't give a fuck about that shit. And a lot of y'all don't give a fuck about that shit. So come over and fuck with a platform like No More OGs that's gonna tell you some real game that you can tangibly pick up and hold and say, damn, I can apply this to my life right now. Just like that question you asked me last night about paying off your credit cards by tackling the interest. Everybody in the room was taking those like, hell shit, yeah. You can do that? Hell yeah, you can do that. Why did nobody teach me? Because it ain't no OG teaching that shit. They teaching you that fuck shit.
That's a fact.
But you going to come over here and I'm going to teach y'all, I'm going to give y'all so much game, and I'm going to have people like you guys on the podcast and people that's really beneficial, these local heroes, these people that you don't really know about, but they the ones making an imprint in the community. Those are people who come. I don't want no fucking celebrities on this podcast. I don't want no niggas that's been leading us astray on this podcast. And I mean that shit. Y'all hold me to that shit. Because I done reached out to all the ones in Dallas. I done reached out to the rappers. I done reached out to the entertainers. I done reached out to athletes, trying to get them to come talk to our boys in the mentoring program. Offering to pay them. You know me, I pay. I don't want you to do shit for free. I ain't gonna ever let you do shit for free for me, right? Don't none of them niggas respond to that shit. They keep a nigga on red. So when this becomes what it's gonna be becoming, don't be in the inbox talking about I can come speak now. No, keep that shit over there. I don't
keep
even
that
want
same
it.
Energy.
I don't even want it, bro. All the people, all your people that's got these dope podcasts, everybody listen to these big followings. I'm like, hey man, I know your following is this, man, but man, it'll be dope if you bring some balance so you can show us in a better light too. So if you ever want to bring somebody on there with a positive light, here's my long ass resume. Oh man, I appreciate you, man. I consider it. I ain't trying to come on that motherfucking podcast, man. I don't want shit to do with it no more, man. I don't want shit to do with it. We finna create our own lane right now. I'm on the record saying that, stamp it and seal it. I don't want shit to do with that shit no more. Because y'all don't want shit to do with our growth, so I don't want shit to do with y'all fuck shit.
I love it.
A new culture is being built.
Y'all tap into No More OGs. All podcasting platforms and on social media.
Definitely.
I just want to say, get into some house cleaning. Thank you again, Tim. We're recording at his studio today. It's been amazing. Appreciate you for doing this crossover episode with us.
Absolutely.
I want to say thank you to all the followers, all the listeners, every supporter. We had an event last night. It was amazing. Thank you to everybody who came out last night to Black Wealth Now. Also, y'all get y'all tickets to the Black Men's Summit. I need all the fellas right now. Pick up your phone, type in blackmensummit.com and go to the website. If you don't got the money right now, subscribe to that newsletter. But if you do got the money, I need you to buy that ticket. It's only $99 right now.
Man, look,
pre-sale price. It is going to go up.
1 second. You get paid on Fridays, brothers. We're going to keep it real. Now, we just talked about what you was taught from the OGs. A lot of niggas get paid on Friday and then be broke by Sunday. Because they spend all their money on bullshit that don't help them build, learn, or grow. Take this. Be intentional. Join this list. Whenever you get paid, And you really are you a, if you a black man that's really trying to build something special, the Black Men Summit is a place that is built specifically for you. We're teaching about, we're building legacy, wealth, health in our community. Tim's gonna be a speaker there. We got some other great brothers that are gonna be speaking at this event, and I just don't want y'all to get caught lacking, because this is gonna be something like the culture hadn't seen before. Again, we creating a new culture, and the Black Men Summit is a part of that. So don't get caught lacking. Go to blackmensummit.com, and telling you, man, you want to be in that room. It's going to be powerful.
Yes, sir. And once again, appreciate everybody for listening week in, week out. If y'all have not realized, we are now on the Revolt Podcast Network. Shout out to Revolt. So appreciate y'all. Yeah, that. Thank y'all for helping us out. You got anything else, David?
Shit, man. That was really it, bro. Thank y'all again for tapping in. Make sure that you like, subscribe, share, send it out to somebody that can benefit leave from this review. Conversation. Definitely leave
also,
that review.
Also, y'all donate. If y'all want to support the show, but you don't want to buy a product or you don't see anything, like, you can donate to us as well. We have a link in the bio. It'll take you to the Stripe account. We also have a goal of building us a studio this year.
We need a studio, damn it. Listen, I got something to say, brother. Y'all gave Umar Johnson all that money, and that nigga ain't never built no school. That's all I'm saying. We're building a studio to continue to create content like this and cultivate entrepreneurs. We have a vision with this studio, and we gonna deliver. So, as Jalen mentioned, if you don't want to buy a product, or you don't feel like you any of the courses or anything that we offer is something that can benefit you, and you've gained value from this podcast, because every time I run into somebody, I love this podcast, man. I learned so much. Donations, gifts, donations.
I thought it was a trash can.
Welcome to America. Donations. I'm just saying, man. Just throw a little something my way. It's definitely gonna help go toward the studio. But real talk, definitely appreciate everybody that's tuned in, tapped in with the podcast. And as Jalen mentioned, y'all leave that rating and review for us. And until next time, this is Black Wealth Renaissance signing out.
Peace.
Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again, because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front room. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.